We're going to welcome our dear friends, Terry and Fran Watson. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Mike.
And Fran.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Well, this is your program for a little while, Terry. So greetings to you on this Christmas Day morning to both of you. And
thank you.
Even at the beginning, I shall give you some more at the end. Much love to you both.
Thank you, Mike.
And Terry, I'm going to hand right over to you.
Right. Well, thank you. Well, happy Christmas and a very warm welcome to our Christmas morning message as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus, into the world. We would assume that for all of us, this continues to remain a remarkable event and gets more wonderful as the years pass by. In the scriptures, the story is told by several writers who've been able to gather the facts of the event more than 2,000 years ago, or have had the privilege to learn from God himself as he reveals prophetically the sending of his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. The theme of this Christmas message is the people that make up the Christmas story, those invited by God to share in this amazing event, some of whom we read of come simply to worship and give thanks. There are some who are late because they come from afar. There are even those who seek to destroy the young child because they reject God's rule for their lives. We read of angels from the realms of glory, shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night, wise men, astrologers, kings from the east. There are busy innkeepers who, because of the census arranged by Caesar, have no room for a pregnant woman nearing the birth of a child. Wicked men like Herod, who pretend to the wise men he plans to come and worship, but seeks only to destroy the young child. There were young people. If David was only 14 when he was called to be anointed king, I wonder how many of these shepherds would have been young people. Mary had been in her teens. During this time in history, Jewish girls would be as young as 12 when they became pledged to be married. There were the elderly. Anna, according to some commentators, would have been as old as 105 years of age. And Simeon, of course. Experts have worked out he could have been up to 200 years old. Every one of us is included in this wonderful event. But let us go back 800 years before our Lord's birth to Isaiah and pick up the story that God the Father has had in his heart from the beginning of time.
Isaiah writes, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Later on in his book, he writes, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
300 years after Isaiah, Micah reveals the place of his birth, and he writes this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." As we look through our scriptures, notice how the ministry of angels is highlighting in every aspect of our story. Dr. Luke reminds us that it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. the angel came to her and said,
"Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God."
The angel Gabriel was one of three archangels chosen by God before time began here on this earth to worship him and serve his creation. We know that one of them, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven, but we're told in Revelation that there remain myriads who seek to worship God and do his bidding. John writes in his Revelation, he says this, "Again I looked, and I heard angels, thousands and millions of them. They stood round the throne, the four living creatures and the elders." The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. He requests that she become available so that God himself can be born a human being. Her answer, "I am the Lord's servant," says Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Matthew, the gospel writer, shares the story of the birth of Jesus as a Jew, writing to Jews. His design is to present Jesus as the King of the Jews, a long-awaited Messiah. He is directed to share the encounter of an angel in his story. He writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, and he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, said, 'Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she conceived. She will have a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin.'" Now, all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, and the angel of the Lord, as the angel of the Lord had told him, that he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. F.B. Meyer comments, "That which happened historically must take place experimentally. In each of us, Jesus Christ must be born through the direct action of the Holy Spirit. This is what we mean by new birth. And when he had so entered our hearts, our Lord will become our Savior, not merely from the penalty, but from the love and power of our sins. Claim that this shall be your experience." My favorite historian is the Apostle John, as he takes us back to the beginning of time, before the worlds were made, to the eternal God himself.
Here's what John says as he introduces Jesus to us. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life of the was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." He goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
It's remarkable that all the hosts of heaven are involved in seeing that God in Christ is safely born into this world. Luke tells us of another encounter with the angelic hosts. He says, there were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you that will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what it will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth for those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angels had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all that they had heard and seen. It had just been as the angel had told them. Being a shepherd 2,000 years ago was a dark and dangerous job in the fields outside little Bethlehem. They would have been cold and afraid, so no wonder they were terrified when suddenly an angel appears with great news that Christ the Lord was to be born in their local town. This news also reached heaven itself, and the whole area is alight with millions of angels singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Their faces bright with being in the presence of God. Must have been eternally. If angels spend their days worshipping God in heaven, they can now come into this world because God himself now lives in the home of Joseph and Mary.
Light has come into the world, just as Isaiah had prophesied when he writes, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And again, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising.
I'm reminded here of that scripture Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, where he says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. There are three other angel encounters that complete this event. The wise men are warned not to return to Herod. Matthew records, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Herod, realizing his plan to kill the young child was foiled, set about to murder all the male children under two. How tragic it must have been that so many lives were lost, so many families' hearts destroyed that day. But angels are on duty to protect the life of Jesus and Joseph. He receives this instruction. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The final encounter in God's great protection of his son in these verses is in Matthew's account, where we read, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archias was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee.
How do we become part of this wonderful story? For the answer, we must return to the first chapter of John's Gospel. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or power, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and we dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
May God bless us this day as we celebrate with our families, or maybe on our own, in the conscious presence of the Lord of glory. Think of those angels now before the throne. But not only there, but they're here around us in this earth, because we have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. I pray this morning that you know the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart. After we pray, we're going to listen to Charles Wesley's great carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Father, we do thank you for this amazing event, this story, the truth of it. We thank you today, Lord, as we begin this Christmas day in your presence, we might commit our lives afresh to you, to know you, Lord, living and abiding, that we might know what it is to worship you as those angels did, to be absolutely transformed like those shepherds were. May we not be like the world that rejects you, but to know you, Lord, and even in a deeper way today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Fran. Very much indeed for sparing your Christmas Day morning to come on New Life Radio.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. And all the best to you and whatever you're doing the rest of the day. I guess you'll be in touch with family. Is that right?
Well, we have our house guest with us. I've invited who I call my alcoholic friend, who is on his own. His family has deserted him, and he's in a rehab place. So I'm going to pick him up, and he's going to come and have dinner with us today.
That's lovely.
You know, he's a great character. Unfortunately, his addiction has, he's lost two families now in his life. Anyway, we trust that, well, the message of Christmas will one day reach into the depth of his heart, and God will save him. He's open to the Lord. And we were going to have my sister, but she's still in hospital. She's not in a good way. So anyway, the family in Eltham are obviously looking after their involved with their and Jana's family. But we'll probably see them sometime in the week.
You have been listening to a Christmas Day message, 25 December 2022, from Terry and Fran Watson.